When our family travels, I've started doing this thing when we pack that I will take the kids' clothes and grab the bottom, a top, and the undergarments, roll them up, and put them in the bag so that each day they can just grab the roll and it will lessen the chaos of living out of a suitcase because I do not do that well. And more recently, Ruth has been helping me pack, and last weekend we went to Joe's sister's in D.C., and we were staying for 3 days. And as we were rolling up the clothes, we talk often like where we're going, what we're doing, how long we'll be staying. And she noticed, I had 5 rolls of clothes. Why? Just in case. Just in case something happens. There's an accident, something gets wet, something gets dirty, just in case. And I've also started realizing that sometimes I go to like my cabinets and stuff and just grab other stuff just in case. Maybe stuff I haven't used in like 6 months, like tape, right? This morning I went to grab this. This expired in 2015, but I might put it in my suitcase just in case. So. The verses that Paul just read from Luke 10 tells the story of Jesus sending out the 72 on a journey ahead of Jesus into the villages to meet people, to go into homes, to give a greeting of peace. And if that greeting of peace was accepted, they were to remain in that home to eat and drink, cure the sick, and share the amazing message of the kingdom of God has come near to you. And they are to do all of that without taking anything with them. There is no packing for just in case. There was no packing, period. This obviously doesn't apply to our everyday travels and trips. It would be a bit foolish to not pack anything and expect to just go show up in a village, knock on doors, and expect to have all of our needs met. I do believe there are some places around the world we could probably do that, but I don't think that's exactly what Jesus was going for when he gave these particular instructions. These verses will also be used this next weekend, as has been mentioned several times this morning. Virginia Mennonite Conference is having their delegate assembly here at Zion. And these verses will actually be the theme for Virginia Mennonite Conference for this next year. I have had the privilege to reflect on these verses again during the assembly and to present questions to the delegates to discuss in table groups. They have the opportunity to think about, to dream, and hope for the future of Virginia Mennonite Conference. And hopefully the delegates will go back to their churches, sharing what they have heard and learned from others, and even a bit about their own reflections. We have the opportunity here this morning to reflect on these verses. And what might it mean for us here at Zion, for us as part of Virginia Mennonite Conference, the denomination, the national church, and the global church body? Last week, Sarah preached from Exodus, the story of Moses and the burning bush, and God calling Moses to partner with God. Sarah reminded us to look around for what God is already doing in the world so that we might join in on that work. To partner with God for God's purpose and glory. I think that message has put us on a good path as we explore the verses this week. Moses felt inadequate, but God reminded him that he was not doing this alone. It was a partnership. In these verses in Luke, Jesus is sending out these persons in pairs. They're not on this journey alone either. Our calling to share the message of hope and love is not something we are expected to do alone. This is God's message for the world. It's not always an easy message to share. It's not always an easy road that we're traveling. And we're also not to be sidetracked from the message. Our message as the church should be, the kingdom of God has come near to you, just as Jesus had instructed. As I mentioned, sometimes we travel with a little more baggage than we might actually need. Sometimes it seems that we're more consumed with what we're bringing, making sure we have everything for whatever the journey might hold, and then lugging it around, keeping an eye on it, to the point that we might become so distracted from part of our trip. Do we ever do this with our message and mission that God is calling us to do? Do we become consumed by our baggage, by what society is telling us to be and do, thinking that we need to have a big church or a great children's program or sing this kind of music or that kind? Are these things that will help us on our journey or possibly weigh us down? That's not to say that any of those things are bad, but maybe there's a time when it can be more helpful to think about, or maybe those things need to be laid down for a season, to be reevaluated, reconsidered. Recently at Zion, we named that commissions could meet every other month instead of monthly, if that would be helpful for people. I see this as lightening our loads, laying down some extra baggage that maybe wasn't helpful at the moment. Jesus also instructed them to greet no one on the road. That instruction struck me as being a bit rude until I explored it a bit more. In many cultures, it's quite impolite to pass someone by and not greet or acknowledge them. But in several sources I came across, it seemed to consensus that this instruction was given to stress the urgency and importance of the message. There are times when you stop and you talk to a person and you find that you've ended up in a conversation for 15 or 20 minutes talking about whoever, what, you know, who knows what. The conversation wasn't bad or wrong, but it might have sidetracked you from your original plan. Have we in the church become sidetracked from our original plan? Have we become less urgent in our message? These side conversations might sound like, should instruments be used in church? Should women have their head covered? Should people of color receive communion from the same bread and cup as white people? Can women be pastors? Should we sing only hymns? Can LGBTQIA persons be fully included in the church? Should men and women sit on different sides of the church? Can a divorced person be fully included in the church? Conversations I know that have happened in many churches through the years. Have these side conversations put qualifiers on God's ultimate message? As someone recently mentioned here at Zion, have we become the gatekeepers? I'm not saying that these questions and conversations aren't valid or unimportant, but I'm wondering if we've gotten so caught up in them that we make those questions our mission, the message that people are hearing, instead of the kingdom of God has come near to you. My encouragement is that we continually evaluate our baggage situation. Be aware of our side conversations so that we can remain focused on our ultimate message. That we can keep going, come upon a village, maybe new people, or old friends, visitors, foreigners, and anyone else you might imagine, and say to them, peace to this house. Maybe we'll be surprised and encouraged by those that receive that peace. We can then remain with them, hear their stories, share their food, both literally and metaphorically. Be in relationship with them. Jesus's instructions says to heal the sick and then say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. This message of hope and life cannot be received unless a person is well enough to receive them. My friend DJ, who works with addicts, has told me on several occasions that a dead person cannot hear the gospel message. He knows that before he can share the good news of Christ with an addict, he has to help them to live another day. So as we are with the people we meet, let us be aware where there might be sickness. This could look like pain, hurt, fear, anxiety, mistrust. It might be physical, emotional, or spiritual, all while inviting God into that space. Jesus appoints those 72, giving them the authority to heal. And I believe that today we also have that same authority. It might not look like physical healing from a sickness per se, but the Holy Spirit that was with those 72 is also with us. Healing can look different for everyone. Offering a listening ear can be a healing balm for someone. Telling someone you're sorry, whether it was from something you did or sorry that they had that experience. Sorry can be a healing word. Showing up can be healing. If a person has been disappointed time and again, and you show up and show them that they matter, that is healing. Saying, I am with you, even in situations where you don't understand or necessarily even agree, you can still be with someone. That is healing. As Sarah said last week, look for where God is already at work and join God. If we pay close attention, there's a good chance we will be able to see where God has already been at work in these situations, and we have the privilege to join God in the midst of healing. It can be difficult to acknowledge, but the reality is the church has been the cause of harm and pain for many people throughout the years, whether this harm has been intentional or not. Pain, brokenness, and harm have happened. The Crusades, literally religious wars, the church used to take back or keep regions Christian, to keep Islam from spreading. The church has had a hand in slavery. When Joe and I visited Gambia in 2016, we took the Roots Tour, in which we visited James Island, which is a small island with building remains that were used to house the Africans in the middle of the Gambian River before they were put onto ships to Europe and Asia as slaves, to Europe and the Americas as slaves. And do you know how some of those individuals got to that island? The church. We visited a village on the banks of the river where we were shown ruins of an old church. The church had been built by the Europeans. The local Gambians were invited to the church. Once people started coming and learning about the church, they were then invited to go and learn more. And at their willingness to go and learn, they were then taken to the island, never to return. The church and Christianity was used to lure them into captivity and slavery. How is healing even possible in some of those situations? I'm standing here this morning as a pastor at Zion, a woman. My journey into this role has been relatively easy comparatively, but honestly, not without harm and pain. And there have been times of healing for myself. In many churches, it is still not acceptable for a woman to hold a role as pastor. There are women who have been severely hurt by the church. Some have walked away. Some still wait to be offered healing. Reports of sexual abuse and power continue to be brought forth daily in the church all around the world. Healing has happened in some instances, but we should be weeping for the brokenness that remains. There's a recent study amongst LGBTQ youth that found that youth whose parents did not use religion to speak negatively about being LGBTQ were half as likely to attempt suicide. How are we offering healing in these spaces? For so many, the message of the kingdom of God has come near to you
cannot be heard or received until they've been healed. How are we offering or allowing this to happen in the church today? We say the kingdom of God has come near to us. What does that actually mean? I found a particular piece of writing to be very helpful on this. The word near in English is from the Greek word engizo, to be near, to draw near, to approach. I envision God standing there,
extending an arm and inviting us to be near to God,
to be in partnership with God, as Sarah said. The word kingdom is translated from the Greek basileia, meaning sovereignty, rule, or authority. Not that there's a literal kingdom of God just around the corner, but an opportunity for God to have authority over and in our lives. To be with God, not in a master, servant, slave relationship, but as persons who have freely chosen to follow God, to allow God to have authority in our lives. How amazing is it that we have the opportunity to share this message with people? Like, hey, Bob, I would love for you to meet God or re-meet God or meet God in a way you haven't known before. Likely, these persons that we are with have been introduced to God before. But maybe there was a harmful message attached. And now we have met this person where they are, offered healing, or the start of it, and said, God is here also, and would like to be in relationship with you, to be the ruler in your life in the most freeing way you have ever known, then allowing that person and God to relate with each other, to allow God to be the authority in their life, not us. We don't have to clutter the message with extra baggage that we ourselves tend to carry, or lots of side conversations. We can share the simple message of love and hope. So this morning, and always, my hope for Zion is that we can go forward with renewed hope, energy, and love, carrying a message of peace that Christ himself shared and instructed others to do. May we do so without baggage, with urgency, and with a spirit of healing and being with. And may the message not get lost in transport. Go forth proclaiming, the kingdom of God has come near to you.